Good morning, church. I'd like to welcome you to our Palm Sunday here at Grace Christian Fellowship. And, you know, this is always a time we get to greet new people. So at this time, I'd like for all of you to just jump up and hug somebody and greet them in the name of the Lord. And Lloyd has given all of you permission to pull his ears 85 times. So with that, let's greet one another in the name of the Lord. It's Lloyd's 86th birthday, so that's an extra tug on his ear. Hate to say that, but that was a sermon, so you're dismissed. No. This is Palm Sunday, a special time. This is when Jesus told all the world that he was the Messiah and that he made that walk through his city, the city that he loved, the city of David, and that was Jerusalem. And he made that walk, and there was such a celebration. And in that, we're going to talk about what occurred then. Why were they celebrating? What was in their hearts? And why did Jesus play that card to tell the world that he was indeed the Messiah, the King, the Prophet? I call this message, "The Messiah Comes, the Celebration," or "How Soon We Forget," which I'm sure you probably get the gist of where we're going on this sermon today. This is part two of my series called "People on the Way," and I'll be talking more in the next few weeks about the people that Jesus met on the way to the cross. Of course, the people on the way in this situation is the multitude. And we're going to go to our scriptures and read about Palm Sunday. And we'll be in Matthew chapter 21. And we'll be into verse 1 through 11. So turn your Bibles, Matthew 21, verse 1 through 11. But before we do that, turn to the person next to you and tell them it's time to study God's Word. Go ahead and do that. It's time to study God's Word. As they approached Jerusalem and came to Bethphage on the Mount of Olives, Jesus sent two disciples, saying to them, "Go to the village ahead of you, and at once you will find a donkey tied there with her colt by her. Untie them and bring them to me. If anyone says anything to you, tell him that the Lord needs them, and he will send them right away." This took place to fulfill what was spoken through the prophet. "Say to the daughters of Zion, see, your king comes to you, gentle and riding on a donkey, on a colt, the foal of a donkey." The disciples went and did as Jesus had instructed them. They brought the donkey and the colt, placed their cloaks on them, and Jesus sat on them. A very large crowd spread their cloaks on the road, while others cut branches from the trees and spread them on the road. The crowd then went ahead of him, and those that followed shouted, "Hosanna to the Son of David! Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord! Hosanna in the highest!" When Jesus entered Jerusalem, the whole city was stirred and asked, "Who is this?" The crowd answered, "This is Jesus, the prophet from Nazareth in Galilee." Let us pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we come to you with open hearts and open minds to study your word and to study these instances in which you met people on the way to the cross. I ask you, Lord, that you will work in my heart, that you will work in my mind, that I will present your gospel in a precise, concise way. Help us, Lord, to sense your presence here today. Help us to sense the celebration that went on in the hearts of the people. Help us too, Lord, to enter into that celebration of the day that you proclaimed yourself the Messiah and walked the streets of Jerusalem as a king and Prince of Peace. So with that, Lord, we ask for your presence. We ask that your anointing fall on me as a speaker and on all of us as listeners, so that we can get excited about your word and be able to apply it to our lives. And we pray this in the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. Amen. What a celebration! What a celebration! The king was coming! The king was coming! The disciples commandeered a donkey and a colt, and they placed this man called Jesus on the donkey and took that long ride down into Jerusalem. The people were ecstatic. They were so ecstatic that they would wave palm leaves and cut them down and put them before the donkey as Jesus walked on top of them. Can you do that? Can you wave your palm leaf?
Hallelujah!
And they praised him. They did praise him. They say, Hosanna to the Son of David. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. And the people said, Hosanna in the highest. Can you say that? Hosanna in the highest. What a celebration. What a celebration. Some say that this was about 5 days before. Well, it was preceding the Passover. Some say that there were about 2 million Jews that had come into the city to celebrate. They came there early to purify themselves so that they could have the Passover feast. 2 million people were there to see Jesus walk the streets. I love the phrase in Matthew that says the whole city was stirred and asked, who is this king? Everybody knew something was going on. Everybody knew that there was something special about this Jesus that came in on a colt, a donkey, to ride the streets of Jerusalem. But why was the celebration? Do you ever wonder that? What was in these people's hearts? What would cause them? What would cause them to put palm leaves down? What would cause them to take off their jackets and throw it before this king? What is this? What would cause them to do that? What would cause them to take their expensive garments to put them down? What would cause them to run to the palm trees and cut it off and to put it down before them? Why the celebration? It was manyfold. The celebration was for many reasons. Number one, this was the Messiah that would bring them hope. And why would they need hope? Why would they need hope? Because everybody around them was taken from them. They lived in such despair. They lived in despair of being under Roman occupation, where the Romans were brutal. They were ruthless. They would take temple money and build statues to their Roman gods and their Roman kings and generals. Not only did they have a ruthless government, they had a ruthless king, King Herod. King Herod Antipas was a son of Herod the Great. We've all heard about how mean he was. Herod the Great that killed the firstborn throughout all of Israel because he wanted to kill the Messiah. This was with his son, and believe me, the apple doesn't fall far from the tree. Because what do we know about Herod Antipas? What do we know about him? He was ruthless. He was evil. He had an adulterous affair with his sister-in-law. And last but not least, that took away the hope of the people, he took the head of John the Baptist. Roman roll, putting their thumb on him. Herod the Great killing their mighty prophet, who they thought was Elijah, and maybe even the Messiah themselves. They needed that hope. They wanted independence. The zealots were there that wanted to fight. They were the freedom fighters of Israel. They wanted to fight for the freedom and independence of Israel. As they saw this Messiah coming as possibly being their hope. Roman rule. Rule of the Jews. And then, if that's not bad enough, the temple and the priests. The church itself was putting everybody under this restrictions. Sacrifices, tithing, being under the law, being persecuted, being pointed out, being made guilty. Don't you think you'd be cheering if a Messiah came at that point? Don't you? That's what the celebration was about. The king to save us. To save us from this Roman rule where they kill people daily. And taxed and taxed and taxed the freedom of the Herod, the king who taxed and taxed and taxed the freedom and liberty of being a nation again, and the freedom from the church who didn't tax, but counted you guilty every second of your life. Guilty. And then you tithed. This Jesus gave them hope. That is why they threw down their jackets. That is why they threw down the palm leaves. You see, Hosanna means, what do you think Hosanna means? It means save. It means save now. When you read the Greek, it means, I beseech you, I need help. So when they were saying Hosanna, it wasn't just Hosanna, the king is coming. It's like, help is here. I need help and it's here. Save us, save us. Please save us. Because I can't get any deeper. I can't get in more despair. But it wasn't just that. It wasn't just that that gave them hope. What gave them hope also is that, well, it wasn't just that they celebrated, but the other thing they celebrated is that they knew there was something special about Jesus. He was a fulfillment of prophecy. He was a fulfillment of Zechariah 9:9, which says, say to the daughters of Zion, behold, your king is coming to you, righteous and having salvation, gentle and mounted on a donkey, even on a colt, the foal of the beast of burden. This was the answer. This was not coincidence. They saw that. They saw that. So they wanted to celebrate. They had evidence on that. They had evidence because this man Jesus was performing miracles. My goodness, he must be real. He must be real. He took the loaves and fishes in a couple baskets and spread it around 5,000 to eat. He cured the blind. He made the blind see. He took the paralytic and had them walk. He drove out demons from the hearts and minds of man. And if that wasn't good enough, right before this celebration, he raised Lazarus from the dead. Even the Pharisees saw that because they said later, we've got to kill Lazarus. But if they would have killed Lazarus, guess what Jesus would have done? Would have raised him from the dead again. So that's why the celebration. It's celebration was he gave hope. The celebration was he was the answer of prophecy. What they saw wasn't a coincidence. The celebration is this is a man that can perform miracles and raise people from the dead. And that does not happen too often. Does not happen too often. Hosanna, save us. Hosanna, save us. Hosanna, save us. What do you think happened? What happened? There's a large celebration. 2 million people around. All these people hungering to be saved. And what happened? 5 days later, they crucified him. What's the deal here? 5 days later, they put him on the cross. 5 days later, they put him on the cross. You ever wonder where they were when they took Jesus prisoner? Where were they? How many disciples came up when they were beating Jesus and said, "Wait, wait, wait, stop! This isn't right." How many did that? Double zeros. They all scream. They were all gone. Peter, the one that said, "I will not deny you." No, 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 no. I won't deny you. What did Peter do? He denied him how many times? Three times. Denied him 3 times. Where were they when he was brought before Pontius Pilate? Where were they? They were there, and who were they screaming for? Pontius Pilate could release one prisoner. And when you thought, yeah, Jesus is going to make it. They're going to free him. But who do they call for? Barabbas. Not give us a Savior. Not give us back the Messiah that saves. But give us back Barabbas, a murderer. A murderer. And where were they at the cross? How many disciples were at the cross? Trivia quiz. One. And who was it? John. God bless you ladies, because the ladies were there, weren't they? Jesus' mother was there. Jesus' aunt was there. And Mary Magdalene was there. I always say, John, Mary, Mary, Mary. And her other sister, Mary. But think about that. How soon do we forget? There had to been a reason. For as much as there was a reason for the celebration, there had to be a reason that they turned on Jesus. I think we find our answers in what happened the next few days. What changed? Number one, Jesus was not what they expected. This Jesus did something strange. He took a stand for righteousness. Isn't that unique, huh? He went into the temple, and right away, his first thing after being celebrated, which probably didn't make people happy, is what did he do? He threw out the money changers. That would make you popular. But they were defiling his temple or his father's temple. I like it because we all talk about Jesus throwing out the money changers. But when you read John, I think in Luke, get this. He threw out those that sold and those that bought. That would shake up a church, wouldn't it? He saw a fig tree that didn't bear fruit. And what did he do to it? He cursed it, and it withered up and died. I'm sure that shook up a lot of people. Because he said to them, He expected them to bear fruit. To bear fruit for the kingdom. And Israel practiced religion, but had no practical faith resulting in godly living. That didn't make them happy. That didn't make the crowd happy at all, did it? He really threw the religious people off when he said that he claimed to have authority from God. Whoa! I can expect a prophet. I can understand that. But to have authority from God? And then he really, really got them upset when he said, I'm the Son of God. I'm the Son of God. He said, he had said very few things in front of Pontius Pilate, but he did answer Pontius Pilate this question. Pontius Pilate says, are you Jesus? Are you the Son of God? And Jesus, being a man of many words, said, I am. That was not popular to call yourself God, let alone the Son of God. Jesus wasn't what they expected because he had a Gentile following. Whoa! A pagan! He's mixing with the pagans. He's mixing with those that don't have that Jewish blood. The unclean. He can't do that. This is Israel. We're a nation. We have pride. He's ministering to those that don't have a history. You can follow along. I mean, this is just what exactly what happened, point by point, chapter by chapter, after this celebration. It wasn't what they expected, and the people that really thought that he was Messiah backed off because of peer pressure. They backed off because of peer pressure. Listen to what John 12:42-43 says. Nevertheless, many, even the rulers, say that, rulers, even the rulers, believed in him, but because of the Pharisees, they were not confessing him, lest they would be put out of the synagogue. For they loved the approval of men rather than the approval of God. I'll worship Jesus over here, okay? But the temple can't know about it because they'll throw me out. They'll throw me out of the club, the temple club. You know, the temple club. They'll throw me out. And I don't want that. So, you know, they can do with them as they please. But, you know, I know he's Messiah. But if he's a Messiah, he can take care of himself. It wasn't what they expected. They had peer pressure. And Jesus was not the answer they wanted as Messiah. To those that wanted independence, to those that wanted a nation again of Israel, instead of recognizing the Prince of Peace coming in on a donkey, which was representative of peace, of victory and peace, kings that had won major victories would come in on a donkey to symbolize, it is done. We have peace now. But the zealots, they didn't want peace. They wanted war. They wanted Jesus to come in on a white stallion, prepared to destroy the Romans, prepared to give back the nation of Israel to its people. That's what they wanted. That's what they wanted. What changed? Well, what changed is they wanted Jesus on their terms and not on his terms. And you know what? What do you think was Jesus' reaction to all that? We can read it in Luke. And that is, he wept. As he was on that Mount of Olives before he came down on the donkey into Israel, he looked over all of Israel and cried. And why did he cry? Because of this. There were days becoming that the enemy will throw up a bank before you, surround you and hem you in on every side, and will level you to the ground, and they will not leave one stone upon another because you did not recognize the time of your visitation. And he cried. He didn't get angry. He cried. And he still went to the cross. How soon do we forget? There are many questions we need to ask ourselves. One is, do we find ourselves being put in situations of living up to God's righteous standards? Do we get mad? Will we stand up to money changers in the church? That's a question. Will we be available to be a fruitful fig tree and to be able to change lives and be used of God? Are we ready to claim the authority of the Scripture and say, yes, he is the Son of God. He's not a prophet. Well, yeah, he is a prophet. He's a prophet, priest, and king. He's also the Son of God. Will we deny him because of peer pressure? Do we love the approval of man versus the approval of God? Have any of us denied Christ? Raise your hand. Once in your life? Twice in your life? You betcha. We make Peter look like an amateur, don't we? Right? We make Peter look like an amateur. I remember when I was, in my faith in the church and praising God. And, this word born again, just, you want to just stay away from it. And when, so you talk about Christ, they say, are you one of those born againers? And you, no, I just, I got to the place I'm saying, why am I denying Christ? Am I born againer? Absolutely. My life changed after I received Christ. I wasn't the same person. It was like I was born again. And the Bible says we must be born again. Of course, it happened to me. I'm not going to deny that anymore. I'm not going to take the stigma that they have about it like we're kind of wackos because we have changed lives. Think about that. We all do it. Someone comes out, you're one of those born againers, aren't you? You go, whoa. I don't anymore. I said, absolutely. God's changed my life, and he can change yours. He can absolutely change yours. Is Jesus the Messiah we want? We expect the Messiah to give us material wealth, to take away all of our pains, to take away death, to take away all the sickness. Is that why we're worshiping him? I got to ask you this. Is he our Savior to save us from sin, which is pretty important? Or is he our Santa Claus? That may sound funny, but I'm asking you. Is he your Savior or is he your Santa Claus? And don't get me wrong. I'm not saying he can't prosper us. And I'm not saying he can't heal us. I'm not saying he can't change us or perform miracles. It's our focus. It's our focus on those things. Or is our focus on knowing that we've been crying out to him all of our lives and he has given us salvation. And he has taken away our sins. He died on that cross in order to do that? Can we celebrate each and every day? That's the question. Can we be different than that multitude that deserted Jesus after that glorious walk through the city? Do we want Him just on Sundays, or do we want Him every day? I think it's time that we rejoice. Grabbing the leaf. It's time to rejoice, isn't it? Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest. Right? Hosanna in the highest. Doesn't that make you feel great? Why can't we celebrate every day? Because he has come. Why don't we celebrate return and return to that joy and hope? Because he has given us hope. Why can't we understand he's given us eternal life? He's given us a destiny. This Christ has. Why can't we understand that he's fulfilled prophecy and he's going to fulfill more prophecy after I just lost Lloyd behind the... And why don't we recognize that he's active in our lives? Amen? Don't we have something to praise about? Can't we wake up in the morning and say, today is a day that the Lord has made. We will rejoice and be glad in it and throw that palm leaf so he can enter our lives. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Hosanna in the highest. Not saved now as he has saved now. Not helped now. He has helped now. He has come. You know what God's heart is for us? He wept over Israel. He weeps over us when we run away from him each and every day. He knew the consequences of Jerusalem because in 70 AD the temple was destroyed totally and not one stone could be placed on another, as he said. And he recognizes those that won't come to him, and he weeps. Because when he visits us, we reject him. So the big question is, will you, like the crowd on a Sunday, soon disperse because he doesn't suit your needs, or because you have peer pressures, or because you're embarrassed by his righteous standards? Or will you celebrate each day knowing our Savior lives and he is active in our lives each and every second? Hosanna in the highest. What great words are those? A plea of the people asking that God would work in their lives on a daily basis. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we love you so much, and we ask for forgiveness each and every day as we kind of want religion our way, not your way. We want this relationship our way and not your way. Sometimes I feel like I'm a McDonald's hamburger joint wanting it my way and not your way. Dear Heavenly Father, I ask you work in all of our hearts to be ever thankful that you came and walked on this earth, that you were proclaimed our Messiah, that you were proclaimed Hosanna, one who helps, one who saves, and that you have saved us, and that your act on the cross has taken away those sins. Lord, I come to you just humble, and I ask for forgiveness for every time I walked away from you and denied you. I also ask, Lord, that you will work in all of our hearts to understand the magnitude of your love, the magnitude of your love that you would walk those streets and be persecuted and be beaten for us and to be hung on a cross to take care of our sins. The great gospel message, this is the good news, the gospel of good news. Thank you, Lord. with every head bowed and every eye closed. Today is your Jerusalem moment. For those that have not accepted Christ as their Savior, but wants to, that understands that He came to us because He loved us, that He sacrificed Himself on the cross to take away that sin, to give us forgiveness. For those of you that have never heard that gospel story, now is the time to consider it. Now is the time of salvation. Now is the time for you to say to yourself, I repent of my sins. And Lord, I want you as my Lord and Savior. It's a simple prayer. I repent of my sins. And I ask you, Lord, into my heart to become my Savior. I'm asking now with every head bowed and every eye closed. If there's anybody who said that prayer. That you raise your hand, you put it right up and right back down so I can pray for you. If you said that prayer for the first time of accepting Christ, just put your hand right up and right back down. Thank you, Lord, for this day. Thank you for Palm Sunday. And help us to grow in your grace each and every day. And I pray this in the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior, and all God's people said. Amen.